Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning into the broadcast today. We want to show you something me and Kathy was talking about entitled Civil Disobedience. Stand up for what is right. What are we supposed to do when we ask to go against God's law? We take a stand and obey God. Because God supersedes everything the government says, anyone else says, because God's word is true. So I want you to listen to this, and me and Kathy talk about this civil disobedience. Stand up, or standing up, for what is right. You will be blessed. Watch this, learn something today, and stand up for God. If you got a Bible or an iPad or a telephone, whichever you use for scripture, would you go with me to the book of Acts chapter 4? We're going into a scene real quickly, and that Peter, Jesus is now resurrected and ascended and at the right hand of the Father, and the disciples are going out to preach this glorious gospel. Well, naturally, you know, when you go out to preach something or do something that God wants done, it makes the devil mad. It stirs up the devil. In fact, God said, beware if people speak good of you, because if they're always speaking only good of you, then you're not stirring up the devil.
True.
See, because the word of God is a double-edged sword. One side cuts the devil, the other side cuts you. See what I'm saying? In other words, it keeps you trim and keeps the devil wounded so he can't hurt you. And that's what it's all about. So Peter and them were out preaching this gospel. And of course, naturally, it makes the church world mad because, you know, first thing first, now people are following Jesus' disciples like they followed Jesus, and they're full of envy and jealousy, and they don't like that.
Because they're not following them.
That's
those
right.
Other rulers.
And what happened was, through the Peter's ministry and thing, this man got instantly healed and blessed, a notable miracle that no one could deny.
Right.
Which gives evidence to the fact that what these guys are saying, these apostles, like saying the same thing Jesus said, that this is working. So I want to start with Acts chapter 4, and I want to read verse 1. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Now, this is coming from the temple. See what I'm saying? Now, this man got instantly and miraculously healed. And in verse 9, Peter says, if we this day be examined of the good deeds. Well, let me go to verse 6 first. And Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together in Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? That's verse 7. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. Okay, I'm going to say, you people in the White House, you people in the legislature, in Congress, you people in the Supreme Court, these governments, these people with power. Then now I'm going to go back to their time, verse 9. If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the important man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, all the people of the White House, all the people of Congress, Senate and the House, all the people of the courts, Supreme Court, all the way down to district courts, that by the name, I go back to his time, be it known unto you, that's Peter's time, to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus, Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Now watch this. Verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Verse 13, I'm going to read this last portion of the verse. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Ooh.
Yes.
Now watch this. This is stirring up some stuff. Sounds familiar? A lot of stuff being stirred up in today's America. Or is it America today? Something to consider. Watch this. Verse 16, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, is manifested to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Does that sound like a Democrat? Does that sound like a Republican? Does that sound like an independent? And we cannot deny it. So there's a lot of things that are truth in Peter's day that they're trying to deny. And there's a lot of things that are truth today that everybody's trying to deny. Okay? I won't put that in, then I'm going to give you the subject we're talking about. Well, I like what it says in verse 17, but that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. Now, that's Peter's time. Does that sound familiar today?
Yeah, trying to control your speech.
Oh, control your speech.
Control your thoughts.
Can't say this. Always talks about it's good to have separation of church and state until it affects them. I want to talk about that in just a minute. I like
good.
What Peter, and they called them, verse 18, and commanded, they didn't ask, commanded them that not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered, verse 19, and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Now, if you go over to verse 29 of Acts 4, Peter and them are praying, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servant that we with all bones that they may speak thy word.
Right.
Now, I want you to go over to Acts real quick, and then I'm going to get into this lesson here. Acts chapter 5, verse 29 says, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. I read a lot of stuff here.
That's good.
I want to talk today about something Kathy was talking to me about, is there was a decree and a declaration sent by Pharaoh to the midwives of the nation of Israel, because Pharaoh said, kill every male-born child and do that now. And the midwives who were delivering these children of the nation of Israel at that time in Goshen, Moses had been born and he was hid, did not obey the decree of Pharaoh, who in that day was considered a god. I want to talk today about something we should remember, because there was a man named Martin Luther King who did the same thing as the midwives. And I'm not talking about delivering babies. I'm talking today about civil disobedience. That when people begin to say things against God's holy word, and I've heard it said that this country was not founded upon Judeo-Christian ethic, and you know, and if you want to be an atheist, you have a right to be. I mean, I have no problem with that. That's between you and God, or you and whoever you think God is or whatever. But we also have a right to say what we believe. We also have a right to say, you may make a law that is unjust. And that was what Martin Luther King was saying way back when civil rights came. He took and said, we will not put up with this no more. And I love his speech, I Have a Dream, and how he said, I want my children judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. He gave his life for what he believed. That tells you he believed in something. Jesus gave his life for what he believed. That tells you Jesus believed in something. I think this, we're getting to these places where people are being attacked ferociously, and the people that should be going to jail or prosecuted are not, and the people that have not done some of the stuff they say are being prosecuted. Now, I'm not picking anybody personal, so don't get a name in your mind. I'm saying I'm seeing that happen. See, and I believe in the freedom of the press just like I do. I believe in the freedom of religion. But I wish the press would be one mind and one accord, that they can agree to disagree. If you want to, the different networks and things of that nature all have their own way of saying things. But I think the news ought to be spoken by ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, all the different ones, PBS, whatever all the networks that are out there, even though they may not like it, even though you can be an extreme left person or an extreme right person, then you might be sinner, a centrist, as they call. But I think what's happening here is that a lot of people are not taking God's word as final authority because they think it's religion, when it's not religion. It's command from a creator. You see what I'm saying? So, I mean, and God gives us the right to say yes and no. And I understand that some of the founders were deists. I understand all that. But anybody with any correct mind, with a reasonable, knows without a shadow of a doubt that our Declaration of Independence, our Constitution, all the different things is founded upon the word providence, which means God. Now, you can agree to disagree with that. That's fine. But what happens is, why are you attacking people that believe in that? And then you say, well, do you believe in that? Yes, I do. Why are you attacking? I'm not. I'm trying to draw a line here. Because you see, what I don't like and what I see all the time is we have forgot to be Americans. You know, I mean, my God, I got a lot of people that work for me, and there's some of them wear some stuff I would not wear. But they have a right to wear it. I probably wear some things that they may not like, but I have a right to wear it. We can agree to disagree, and a lot of times we do that, me and Kathy on clothes. She says, Jesse, that is out. That's not fashionable. That's out of style. I said, well, if we keep it long enough, Kathy,
it'll come back
in style, you know,
and
things of that nature. And a lot of times it has, and maybe sometimes it haven't. My point is, there's a time when you have to stand up for what's right, like the Apostle Peter. Do we serve God or do we serve men? Lord, grant us boldness. That doesn't mean we want to fight. And, you know, I think I find it very tiring, and I'm going to say this, this year I'll be 75 years old in July. I'm very tired of such personal attacks from the Democrats, from the Republicans, from the House of Representatives, from the Senate. The ones that I like the best really is the Supreme Court, because, you know, they can agree to disagree, and they write opinions as the vote comes down. But if you noticed, they're still the Supreme Court. They stay together. They can agree to disagree. But they don't have to worry about being elected because it's a lifetime appointment. You see what I'm saying? And all the other ones that are being elected try to get people that are coming up with the Supreme Court to say something when they're going through their vetting, you call it, whatever, and they refuse to do that. And I appreciate that about that third branch of government, that it keeps the courts in line when really all the other courts, all the Supreme Courts of all the different states, all the district courts, and I understand the law can be interpreted in many different ways, but there's certain things, if we found it upon the Constitution, upon the Declaration of Independence and the different wonderful documents we have, that we have a right to pursue happiness. Ladies and gentlemen, America is not happy. And I'm disturbed by that. Are you? Civil disobedience. You know, and the worst example of it all is the church. Church will attack and kill its own wounded quicker than anybody else, just like this temple trying to kill them boys. Now, Kathy, when you told me in that little discussion we were having in our family room that the midwife said, we're not going to do that.
That's right.
And so explain kind of how the Lord was speaking to you about that.
Well, I was actually had researched, and I was doing some teaching because I had been teaching in the book of Romans, and here I came to Romans 13. And Romans 13 talks about how in verse 1, it says, let every soul be subject to the higher powers. And that
right.
was really like...
Yes.
And people really grab... A lot of people in the church grab that verse and really just threw it out of proportion. Doesn't matter what the government restrictions come down, mandates, whether it be vaccine or who can work,
right.
whether you can even have church or not. I mean, ballrooms could be open, but churches couldn't be.
Right.
So the government was dictating what we could do. And so a lot of the churches were just bowing down. A lot of leaders,
right.
Embarrassingly, they were just bowing down to that. And because they were, quote, look, basically thought they were following Romans 13, but I was doing a research. There are a lot of different times of examples from the Bible of civil disobedience, and
but
that's what I was
I have to
you.
Give honor to where honor's due. Our governor at that time was a Democrat, and I don't know who you talked to, whatever, but they wanted to close down some of the churches, and what they call that?
They were doing mandates, and they were saying how determining what was essential, as though the government could tell us that we're not essential. I was listening to his speech, and he was trying to give a description of what
is essential.
Who's essential, and he interrupts his notes, and he talks to the reporters that are in the room.
Right.
And he says, okay, in case you reporters are wondering, y'all are essential. I'm thinking, well, if a reporter is essential, definitely.
Is that because he believed in freedom of the press?
Probably, I guess so.
But,
I mean, he thought he was answering that question, you know, but I said, well, if reporters are essential, we're essential because we're getting the good news out. And so I grabbed that portion of his message and sent it out to the staff to let them know, don't be concerned about coming to work because we didn't shut anything down.
No.
And because we are definitely essential. Well, whether they did or not, we had to do what we had to do.
That's
my point here. I had a point in my message, and I brought it up here because I knew you were going to talk about this. Every believer is called to be a responsible citizen by obeying the government's laws unless those laws violate God's laws. And that's what those women did, those midwives. They were not going to kill or destroy those babies.
Right.
So they said, well, the women of Israel are hardy, and they don't need us. And,
I mean, they can have a baby like that.
But even Moses' parents, they obeyed God and hid Moses for 3 months.
Now, I want to say something to all that are watching. We're not telling you to not obey the laws of the land. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying there are times.
God's law is a higher law, is what we're saying.
There are times when you have to stand for what you believe.
That's right.
Let me give you a prime example of that. Why do we have the United States of America? Because our founding fathers decided to stand up against the most powerful nation of their day, which was England. It was an empire. Woo! And say, wait a minute, taxation without representation? That's how it all kind of started.
Not just that, religious liberties.
Religious liberty,
they couldn't just serve God the way they wanted to there. So when they came here, that's why it was so important to establish these liberties that we enjoy as Americans.
Right.
And having a place to worship, freedom to worship, is right up there with all of the other important Bill of Rights.
Let me show you the difference between the Constitution, which is a phenomenal document, and this Bible. This Bible is the true word of God. It has no amendments to it.
That's right.
It does not need to be amended. Well, the Constitution has several amendments to it, which needed to be amended. You're never going to get everything correct, completely correct, unless you're God yourself who's writing this holy canon, because he got it all correct. Now, I don't get mad if you don't believe the way I believe on some things. You see what I'm saying? I'm just glad you're a Christian. I have had a lot of different churches, Christian churches. I mean, I never speak. I'm not against the Catholic Church or the Methodist Church. I'm just glad people are going to church. What I'm against is Satan and what I call satanic doctrines. Instead of, you know, this is what I feel. Well, this is not feeling. You know what I'm saying? What we need to do is stand up for what we believe is right. And I believe our governor then was a Democrat and a great guy. He said, y'all have a right to stay. Because I think he believed, and in fact, I know he believed in separation of church and state, freedom of religion, and he believed in the First Amendment, freedom of speech, and freedom of the press, and all the different things. But what I'm saying is, you can see what's happening. There's such havoc. And I almost get irritated when people go before Congress to talk, that it becomes the people that are on the dais or whatever, they're trying to grab as much of that camera time as they can, and they try to twist the words of the person that they're talking to. And I just saw that happen. You know what I'm saying? It seemed like, and I don't know this man, he was the guy that checked President Biden's, what do they call those things, those papers that he shouldn't have had.
His
name is
his
Mr. Hurt.
Classified documents.
But they kept trying to change his mind. Well, then you've exonerated him. And you know, they want to get off of it. No, he said he didn't exonerate him. He just told the truth. And he was backed, from what I understand, by the Attorney General of this nation. You see what I'm saying? In other words, I love back and forth. I believe in that. But I don't like it just so you can get more camera time. And everybody worried about political statement. And I believe in politics, man, because that's what runs the place. And you, if you're a Democrat, you want your person to win. If you're a Republican, you want your person to win. Then you got another guy that's getting in there, and you the independents, they may want RFK to win. We use it in the presidential election thing. Whether you like any of them, that's not the issue. No one else had enough guts to stand up and run, and the ones that didn't make it. Okay, well, that's process of elimination. We can understand that, you see. So there's been sometimes I've looked at some candidates running and I thought, I don't like any of them, but I knew one of them was going to get the job. You see what I'm saying? Through our voting processes. And thank God for that. But I think there comes a time when I got it. And I will say this right now. If they tell me I can no longer preach in the name of Jesus, I'm going to become Apostle Peter. I'm going to say, well, I'd rather obey God than man. I'm going to preach this gospel. We will kill you. Well, okay. That's how strongly I believe in preaching this gospel. Well, that's what Jesus tells us to do, ladies and gentlemen. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I am not going to be quiet about God's word, and I know you're not either. Listen, there are times when you have to stand for what you believe. I said it earlier that's what our founding fathers did. We declared a Declaration of Independence, then we had to fight a war to be free. And let me tell you something. God's law is always higher than man's law, no matter what they say. You know, Kathy had a great point when she said every believer is called to be a responsible citizen. In other words, by obeying the government's laws, that's true. Unless, and that's a big word there, those laws violate God's laws, because God is first in everything we do. Now, what do? Well, we pray and ask God for wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. You get wisdom, you get understanding. I don't want to go against my government. I mean, you understand in any way, shape, or form. But I tell you what, this supersedes everything any man has to say concerning what to do, when to do it, where to do it, and how to do it. Father, I pray right now for every individual to give them understanding and wisdom, Lord, during these perilous times to what to do, when to do it, where to do it, and how to do it. I decree it and I declare it today in Jesus' name. That's why God said, pray for wisdom. Well, we're seeing some things happening today we never thought we would ever see. But that's all right. A man named Martin Luther King stood up for what was right. He died for that cause, but that civil rights bill was passed. And it needs to even get stronger than it was way back when. Somebody has to stand up for something. Jesus stood up for something. He died, but he came back. Hallelujah. He rose from the dead, and he's coming back again. My God, I'm starting to preach here. So we need to believe what is right. I don't believe in hate speech or nothing, but the word of God is not hate speech. Stay right there. I'll be back in just a moment to speak another word to you, show you some things happening here at JDM. Watch this and be blessed.
You can broadcast the wonderful works of God right where you are. We have been entrusted to see to it that this message gets communicated to everyone, everywhere. You could be the one that changes somebody's life. You may not change thousands, but if you change one, that's all that counts.
Kathy Duplantis's Glorious, A Conference for Women, March 7th and 8th, 2025.
Ladies and gentlemen, our November product offer is this book that I love. I wrote many years ago, God's Not Enough, He's Too Much. It's a great book. It will bless you, and it's our product offer for November. This book will help you break off the mental restrictions that stop God's blessings from flowing in your life. I'm telling you, there's a lot of mental restrictions back there. This book will help you. How do I get it? Just go to jdm.org for all the ordering information. God's Not Enough, He's Too Much. And they'll get it to you, and you'll be blessed. Partners, thank you. Can't thank you enough for what you do. Nothing too small and nothing too big. Your faithful financial support is so vitally important in reaching people, changing lives, one soul at a time. We say that all the time because it's simply the truth. And I mean that sincerely. To me, it's not about money. To me, it's people. I've asked the Lord for every dollar given to my ministry. Give me a soul into the kingdom. I don't mind doing this work. I don't care how old I get. I don't care about any of that. The word of God has got to go forth no matter what happens. And not only am I doing it, but people all over the world are preaching this glorious gospel. Thank you, partner, for helping us. We're believing God for some big and wonderful things. believing God for a $20 million loan, and I believe we're just that close to it because we've got $20 million worth of projects to do. Always something going on. Hallelujah. But God's word is true. Thank you. Don't let those big figures destroy you or say, my God, that's impossible. Nothing's impossible with God. And if you believe that, nothing is impossible with you. Partners, thank you. I wish there was another word beside thank you because you've done so much. 48 years of full-time ministry, we've never had a financial deficit. Why? Because we both believe in each other and we both believe in God. That's what it's all about. Now, next week, Kathy has a message entitled, Come and Drink. It's going to be a good one. I hope to see you next week. Till then, Jesse the Planner from New Orleans, Louisiana, said, I love you, Jesus loves you, and today you're going to receive a miracle.
I made up my mind to be a witness to all nations, to get this gospel preached to the end of the world for a witness, and the Bible says the end shall come. So all I'm doing, ladies and gentlemen, spiritually, physically, financially, is enhancing Jesus to come quicker.
We are looking forward to the great return of our Lord Jesus Christ, and He's going to need every one of us to be enlisted and on the front lines of doing what we're called to do so that they can see that Jesus is indeed real today.
This gospel is for all, anywhere, any nation, anywhere, and everywhere. The urgency of time will not wait for anyone. It will not. So when I see these things, I go, oh, it challenges me to move farther, further, faster, and higher.
There are times when we are called to take a stand for what is right. Our November partner offer is a popular boardroom chat that Kathy and I did. It's called Civil Disobedience. All of us are called to be responsible citizens who obey the law unless those laws violate God's law. There's godly wisdom and direction in this. Order your copy at jdm.org and you will learn something wonderful. Thank you very much.
Jesus stood up and said, anybody that's thirsty, come and drink, and you're going to receive living water. This is what Jesus came to give to the world, and this is what refreshes us when we learn how to tap into that flow. Amen? When we learn to grab hold of what God has done.